That call to order the regular meeting of the City of Emeryville Transportation Sustainability Committee, December 9th, 2025 at 4 p.m. I'm going to do a roll call.
Yep. Vice Chair Dave Moore.
Here.
And Chair Matthew Solomon.
Here.
Both present.
With that, we'll move to public comment. This is for items not on the agenda. Probably we'll start with any public comment in the room. Folks, you got 2 minutes.
I might have another minute to compose my thoughts there, but basically, I'd like to make a request. So Brooks Jessup, I'm on the board of the ETMA, which manages the Emery Go-Round shuttle service here in Emeryville. And there have been discussions in the past about sort of connecting ETMA and the Emery Ground more to the transportation related projects in the city. And there've been sort of informal conversations, particularly because ETMA board, we oversee a big component of the sort of transit aspect of our transportation system, obviously not all transit in the city, but we're not currently on the project pipeline for transportation projects, like for example, BPAC and other committees are. Talked about this with Ryan in the past. So I'd like to make a request that to the members of the Transportation Sustainability Committee to encourage that sort of an integration where to basically put the ETMA on the project pipeline to provide feedback for projects like the Powell Street redesign project that involves very significantly transit improvements, changes to bus stops, service frequency, et cetera. Projects like the 40th Street multimodal project, things like that. My sense from the board is that we have a lot to contribute and sort of feedback to provide in these projects. But I think just because of, for whatever reason, just haven't really had the opportunity to necessarily weigh in and be consulted on these projects early enough to actually make a difference in the design process and conceptualization. So that wasn't as well composed as I would have liked it to have been, but that's the basic idea. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll talk about that. Thank you for your public comment.
And if we have one submitted public comment as well.
Oh, great. Do we read those out?
We don't at council, and I know I saw the email.
He forwarded it to
is it required?
It's up to the committee, actually. So how you guys want to handle it. We don't get that often with this committee, actually. So.
I've read everything that was.
Yeah, I think if it's been forwarded to us.
Okay. Okay, that's good. And then we have other comments on item 5.1 that I plan to read during that item. So we have 11 total comments on item 5.1. Public comment that got submitted.
Any other public comment items on the agenda? Seeing none, I'll close item 3.1. Move to item 4, approval of November 17th, 2025, special meeting action minutes. I'll move approval. Second.
All right. Vice Chair Dave Moore.
Aye.
And Chair Matthew Solomon.
All right.
Excellent. That was item 4. Moving to item 5, our only action item of the night, which is 5.1, green curb approvals at park frontages citywide.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Chair Solomon, Vice Chair Warren, members of the public. My name is Philip Post, Associate Civil Engineer with Public Works Department. Today I have a presentation for you on green curb installation at City Park. More specifically, the creation of two-hour time-limited parking zones from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. along portions of Christie Avenue, 61st, and 62nd Streets. You may recall we brought an item to you proposing parking restrictions for RVs, trucks, and trailers a few months ago, which went to council in a slightly different form last month in alignment with the California Vehicle Code. In our existing municipal authority, on November 4th, City Council adopted a resolution consenting to the TSC's designation of parking restrictions for oversized vehicles near city parks, however, only within 100 feet of an intersection. While this action addressed critical safety concerns at park entrances and corners, it leaves mid-block sections of park frontages unregulated by the new restrictions. Deploying time-limited parking in these gaps is necessary to ensure consistent management along the entirety of park frontages and achieve the city's safety and accessibility goals. Next slide, please. So why green curbs at parks? Having the mid-block gaps as time-limited green curbs will increase parking turnover, reducing likelihood that tall vehicles, such as RVs, trucks, or trailers, will be parked at these locations for extended periods of time. It will also prioritize convenient short-term access for park visitors rather than long-term vehicle storage, allowing more members of the public to access the park. Large vehicles can impede sightlines, blocking views of crosswalks, park entrances, children entering the street. Large vehicles can have significant blind spots, posing elevated risks when maneuvering in ped-heavy park areas. Fewer large vehicles will allow for a clearer street view in the parks to maintain safety and security. And here are the three streets we're proposing for the green curb. Next slide, please. At Christie Avenue, the green curb is south of that mid-block traffic signal there, just west of the Whale Playground. We're proposing 145 feet on the east side of the street and 72 feet on the west side, just north of that private driveway there. Next slide, please. On 61st Street, we're proposing 245 feet of green curb along the north side and a total of 221 feet on the south side. There's an existing yellow zone slash driveway there that we're keeping that way. Also, along the south side of 61st Street, there's existing permit parking that will not be affected by the new restrictions. Next slide, please. On the 62nd Street, we're proposing 227 feet of green curb on the south side and a total of 225 feet on the north side. There are existing driveways on both sides of the street that are reducing the total length of the green curb. Per the municipal code, notices were posted at each of these locations to notify the public of the proposed color curb change and the public meeting. Notice was also provided through the published agenda packet. Next slide, please. Now, the recommendation is that the committee make a motion to approve the green curb 2-hour time-limited parking zones from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. along Christie Avenue, 61st Street, and 62nd Street, as shown on the exhibits. We're happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Sharon. Are there any questions on the side?
One question. I know we received some comment cards about this item. I think some of these street side parking areas are used by people who are not necessarily visiting the parks. Some work in the area or live in the area. And I'm wondering, I know we're trying to balance some considerations here, right? It's the park access, visibility. There's sometimes vehicles parked there for multiple days. Is there a permit program for people in the neighborhood that they could try to take advantage of that? So maybe there would be like some compromise to accommodate people who are accustomed to having that parking, that street parking availability.
Yeah, there's a resident parking permit program. It's on the planning side of our website. So there's a petition that needs to be filled out by the residents in the neighborhood, and it gets vetted by our planning department and goes that route if it needs to go through that route. Yeah.
And just to clarify, that's for residents, but somebody who's not a resident but they work in the city. Unless they are, I'm familiar with some parking programs in other cities where there's like a guest pass you can give to, I guess if you live there, you could give it to an employee, perhaps. Is there like a guest pass option?
There is a guest pass program. I can probably bring up the website right now. I think it is listed on there, so I don't want to misquote what it is, but there is a guest pass program on it. And businesses can also apply for this program, but it's limited to how many employees can be part of the program. So I think it's very limited on it. It might be like one employee as part of the program. So it's very limited for businesses on that front.
Thank you.
And this motion is not for metered parking. This is for just green. So if you have 2 hours, you don't pay.
It's not paid parking. No.
Great. If no other questions, I think we can move to public comment. I know we received some that were emailed to. We received the emails. Sounds like there's others.
And I think we have some in the room as well today.
Yeah, so maybe let's start within the room.
Yeah.
And
I just had one clarifying question. The ones that you receive, are these ones that you've received but you've not forwarded to us?
Yeah, we've some of them have even been received in the last like half hour.
Got it. Okay.
Great. Yeah. So let's start within the room. And I'm gonna go left to right. So raise your hand if you'd like to make a public comment. You'll have 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Thank you. I live on 61st Street, live and work. It's a series of many live work spaces on that street. This poses a problem for us because we have a lot of like clients and customers that also spend a fair amount of time there, and also other people that it's very varied. There are a number of units. I'm sure a lot of them made comments. I have a few more sheets for folks who had any other comments. And it's been kind of like pivotal to a lot of our life and business to have the parking as it has been for a long time. And plus a lot of issues with that. And we haven't had any issues on our block in particular around long-term parking that has really been harmful to us anyway. As far as I have seen certainly myself in the last 2 years, and I've been in that place also working for the last 12 years. I think that is the extent of what I want to share.
I also live in the same building. I've lived there for 4 years now. A lot of people I know have multiple vehicles but are pretty mindful about moving their cars and everything like that. Being a live work space, like I know I literally work in the building, so I live and work there. So unless I have to go do other things, there's not much reason for me to leave, which having 2 hours to park on either side would obviously be a major inconvenience. I have actually tried to apply for the parking permit that is on the building side. I actually had it for a year. I go to reapply for it, and I was told that because my car is not registered to that address, then I can't have the permit again, which they said it was a clerical error that I got it in the first place. I don't think there should be any reason that I should have to re-register my car if I have proof of residency for the building. So I think the two-hour proposal of that affects me in the way that not being able to even get a permit is, that's obviously just an inconvenience. If I could have a permit, that's different, but that also, I know a lot of people come to our building to visit for whatever work or whatever purpose, and having 2 hours is just a very small amount of time, especially from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. And I think it sounds more like a lot of that is you guys trying to not have a lot of like larger vehicles there, which I think that's just a completely different topic, and it shouldn't affect like the live work residents that are living, especially on 61st Street or on 62nd, because that's also right next to it. But yeah, that's it.
Thank you for your comment.
Yes, my name is David Powell. I live also on 61st Street. I am a small business owner also in the building, and it would create a serious hardship and could negatively affect my business if I only have 2 hour parking. We have people there who are hairdressers, acupuncturists. I myself am a visual artist and writer, but I have openings for different pieces. Think that people cannot park and they cannot stay. It could seriously impact my bottom line, which is a problem. In addition to that, I also applied for a permit but could not get one because of the same situation that she was having, due to my registration not being in the city, even though I have a lease, I have utility bill, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In addition to that, it just doesn't make sense because People want to come and enjoy the park. We live right across the street from the park. Almost every weekend, there is a family doing a birthday celebration with a child. There's a karate classes and things going on outside in the park. If people have to keep moving their cars, they can't enjoy themselves and enjoy the recreation that is available at the park. This is problematic. I just don't think it's a good thing to do. I don't think it's been very well thought through. Also, this all started with about 2 months ago. All of a sudden, the parking meter folks started coming through, and what I feel like is harassment of the residents that live there and park there. Some people do have multiple vehicles. I spoke to one of the parking meter folks myself. She said, well, there are abandoned vehicles. I've lived there 3 years. I can never see any abandoned vehicle. There are people who have multiple vehicles. They sit for a while, unfortunately. I have multiple vehicles. I have a car and a motorcycle. So that may have been what she was referring to. Then all of a sudden, there's a notice for this to happen. We don't even get 5 business days notice with this. This is just not really fair. And I really think that needed rethought, and I don't appreciate the way this is being handled. That is my call.
You
also have petitions here that are signed by other residents. If you have yours, let's reject those.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I just had a question based on all of the public comments. It sounds like the city has identified a large vehicle problem in this area. I'm just wondering what is the sort of evidence or data behind that? Have there been a lot of like C-clip fix? Like how have you identified the large vehicle issue in this area along 61st? More than a comment.
Thank you. Do you have it, sir?
Great. It's been a few large vehicles that have made the issue, brought it to the forefront, essentially. And so we're looking at different tools to address that as part of this, in addition to trying to improve the access to our parks.
Can
I was a resident at 61st Street, and I live there with my husband, and I think you get one permit per residence or per apartment. So between me and my husband, we get one permit, parking permit, and since we have 2 cars, it's just one person gets to park in front and the other person then gets to park blocks and blocks away. And I think now since there's businesses as well that park on our street, you get home at 4, and all the businesses are there, and there's usually a spot or 2 open. But if there's not available parking, then it's going to be like 5 or 6 blocks. I don't know how far away, but it's going to be really hard for us to park in front of us. That's all. Thank you.
Any other public comments? Spoken? Yeah, please.
I also run business on 61st. Photography studio, most of my clients are there for 3 hours, like minimum. So it would definitely affect. Yeah, right.
There's something here. If no other in-person comments, I'll move to any comment cards that we did not yet receive.
Yeah, I think you got most of these. So they've forwarded from the state clerk's office. So I will read through these. Let's see. I won't show them on screen. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Yeah. Open. Quick. Is from Denise Orlovsky. And let's see. So the flyer posted around Doyle Hall's Park does not provide an email for comments, nor does it provide a QR code. Commenting on proposed parking changes around Doyle Hall's Park, semicolon, this plan does not appear to benefit anyone. It is impact working people and the sick. Nothing here that these two groups are already under tremendous pressure to meet their living expenses. The wealthy can and do use Wareham garages without question. The workers that use the spots in the area do so in order to stretch their pay. I live in the neighborhood and happy And I'm happy the workers and the despondent sick can park for free unlimited. Their presence in no way negatively impacts the neighborhood. Glad that Emeryville can lighten the burden for the working class and those not well by having free spots around. Noting here that I don't go to Berkeley because of meters and two-hour parking. It's a shame that Kaiser Oakland charges so much to park, burdening the already burdened. I drive out to Richmond Kaiser to park for free in their garage. There are people out here that can't afford parking garages, many of us. Unintended consequences, businesses moving out of Emeryville to areas that are more human ease, easier for workers. Availability of parking around the park will make it easier for people to bring their large unleashed dogs to use the park as a dog park. Availability of parking for weirdos in their cars to watch children at the park. I live in the area and I know. Thank you, Denise Orlovska. Okay, so that is one comment. I think most of these are about the size of 2 minutes, so I'll read them through. Well, that's okay. Yeah. Yeah. Next one is from Jamie Rowe. I'm writing to share concerns about the proposal to convert parking on both sides of 62nd Street between Hollis and Doyle into green zone timed parking. This change would significantly limit parking availability for residents, employees, myself included, and visitors who rely on longer term parking in this area. I ask the committee to reconsider this proposal or explore alternatives that balance turnover with practical needs of the neighborhood. Maintaining accessible, flexible parking near Doyle is important for those who live and work here. Thank you for your attention to this issue. Next comment is from Melanie Rumpel. I am writing to formally oppose the proposed conversion of parking on both sides of 62nd Street between Hollis and Doyle Street to two-hour green zone time parking. This proposal would severely exacerbate existing parking shortages for both residents and local employees in this area. The proposal will not reduce the number of cars needing all-day parking. It will simply displace the remaining long-term parkers onto the adjacent residential streets that currently lack any time restrictions. This will lead to increased competition and congestion in neighboring areas. Many employees, such as those in the adjacent industrial and commercial buildings, rely on these spots for affordable all-day parking. Forcing them to move their vehicles every 2 hours is unfeasible and penalizes the local workforce, potentially harming local businesses. The high demand in this area is driven by all-day commuters, not short-term shoppers. A two-hour limit will primarily benefit no one, as the spaces will simply be occupied by a rotating schedule of commuters trying to game the system or by enforcement vehicles. I respectfully request the city reject this proposal to convert 62nd Street to two-hour limits, 62nd parking to two-hour limits, and instead engage with the community and local businesses to develop a comprehensive plan to address the acute all-day parking shortage. Comment from Lisa Gillian. To whom it may concern, thankfully COVID is in our rearview mirror and the city of Emeryville has clearly been focusing on growth by adding new apartment parks, walking paths, etc. As someone who works full-time in Emeryville, I've loved seeing this transformation and influx of young people, families, etc. Additionally, there are so many businesses based in Emeryville. By enforcing two-hour parking, all of those new families, the hardworking folks who come here to work, are going to be quite frankly screwed. Is the solution to move your car every hour and 59 minutes, disrupting our work days throughout and interrupting meetings to attempt to avoid a ticket? How do you expect anyone to live or work in Emeryville with these enforcements added? To be honest, the vibe it's giving is we want to make a bunch of money off of folks by giving them parking tickets. And it's really not in line with the Emeryville I've known and loved 33 years I've lived here. Bay Street is freshly revamped, stores and restaurants are opening left and right, businesses are booming. And you want to make it harder for people to enjoy the city? Make it make sense. Respectfully, Lisa, a hardworking Bay Area resident who doesn't want a daily parking ticket. Next comment is from Leanhart. Hello, as an employee of Title IX, I am very concerned about this change. There is really only one business, Ruby's Cafe, in the area, and all else are businesses, business offices. Thank you, Linnea. Comment is from Casey Nelson. I'm writing to express my concern about the proposed conversion of parking on both sides of 62nd Street between Hollis and Doyle into two-hour green zone parking at Wrigley Park on 62nd for work, and limiting the parking time would create a significant hardship for me on a near daily basis. This change would greatly reduce the already limited long-term parking available in this area, making it more difficult for those us who work nearby to reliably park without disruption. I respectfully ask the city to reconsider this proposal or explore alternatives that support both local businesses and employees who depend on accessible all-day parking. Thank you for your time and consideration. Next one's from Kristen Young. I'm writing to express my strong concern regarding the proposed conversion of parking in the Emeryville Park frontages, specifically near my workplace on 62nd next to the park, to a two-hour limit. As an employee who works 8 or more hours a day at a local business with approximately 75 staff members, the current parking situation is already challenging, particularly due to surrounding businesses and the Stanford medical staff. The difficulty is compounded on the first and second Thursdays of the month. The proposed two-hour limit would eliminate most of our available parking. Given that our employees commute from across the Bay Area, including San Francisco, Marin, San Jose, Concord, and El Sobrante, and many have parental drop-off pickup duties, public transportation is not a feasible option for the majority of our staff. I urge you to reconsider this proposal. The two-hour limit will negatively impact local businesses and employees who depend on this parking availability for their livelihood, and it is unclear how it would benefit the community in a way that outweighs this loss. Next comment is from Brooke Rosenberg. Hello, I work at Title IX and we are located at 6201 Doyle Street. All sides of the building next to Doyle Park fill up with cars from our office, and we will all be displaced for parking if a two-hour limit is placed. Please do not go to 2 hours. There are several other offices in the area that rely on this parking as well. Thank you. Suzanne Castillo. I'm writing to oppose the proposed conversion of parking on both sides of 62nd Street between Holland Street and Doyle Street to a two-hour green zone time parking. The proposal would severely exacerbate existing parking shortages for both residents and local employees in this area. The proposal will not reduce the number of cars needing all-day parking. It will simply displace the remaining long-term parkers onto adjacent residential streets that currently lack any time restrictions. This will lead to increased competition and congestion in the neighboring areas. Many employees, such as those in the adjacent industrial or commercial buildings, rely on those spots for affordable all-day parking. Forcing them to move their vehicles every 2 hours is unfeasible and penalizes the local workforce, potentially harming local businesses. The high demand in this area is driven by all-day commuters, not short-term shoppers. A two-hour limit will primarily benefit no one, as the spaces will simply be occupied by rotating schedule of commuters trying to game the system or by enforcement vehicles. I respectfully request that the city reject the proposal to convert 62nd Street parking to two-hour limits. Instead, engage with the community and local businesses to develop a comprehensive plan to address the acute all-day parking shortage. Maybe enforcing no overnight parking will remove the large vehicles that people are camping in off and allow people who live and work nearby have an easier time with life and employment, adding more tax dollar to the city Emeryville by not quitting jobs since public transport is near non-existent in Emeryville, making community incredibly challenging for those who take BART and other means from other cities. Thank you for your consideration. And the last comment is from Sylvia Biasi. I am writing to formally oppose the proposed conversion of parking on both sides of 62nd Street between Hollis Street and Doyle Street to two-hour green zone time parking. This proposal would severely exacerbate existing parking shortages for both residents and local employees in this area. The proposal will not reduce the number of cars needing all-day parking. It will simply displace the remaining long-term parkers onto the adjacent residential streets that currently lack any time restrictions. If the intent is to reduce high-volume vehicle parking, simply enforce the restriction, and frankly, the only high-volume vehicles I've seen in the past year are from the transient population that camps in the area. There are simply not enough street parking spaces in the area to accommodate the current business office population. Furthermore, there are no public transit options that reach this area from the surrounding cities. Many employees, such as those in the adjacent industrial or commercial buildings, rely on these spots for affordable all-day parking. The high demand in this area is driven by all-day commuters, not short-term shoppers. A two-hour limit will primarily benefit no one, as the spaces will simply be occupied by a rotating schedule of commuters trying to game the system or by enforcement vehicles. I respectfully request that the city reject this proposal to convert 62nd Street parking to two-hour limits and instead engage with the community and local businesses to develop a comprehensive plan to address the acute all-day parking shortage. There you go.
All right.
I see no more comments, no comments in the room, no more public comments, no more comment cards. Oh, I'm sorry. Apologies.
Can I ask a question? Are you guys able to like respond?
I think are not obligated to respond. We can choose to, if I'm getting that right. But you have 2 minutes, you can say whatever and
okay. I think from what I've heard from all the comments, there's a domino effect for the entire neighborhood, and it's even more of an impact on the businesses directly adjacent to where these green zones are being placed. I think it's been very difficult for the permitting process to get businesses on those streets. Be able to park there has been really difficult. I don't know if that's something that you guys even are able to facilitate or assist in, but it's very hard for the business that I run out of that area. And have you guys like considered any additional resources for those direct businesses? Maybe that is like parking vouchers or something for those to operate a little more healthily than they otherwise would if this just went into effect.
Thank you for your comment. I think we discussed that somewhat with the permit discussion, but I think that's, well, I think I'll move to, if there's no other public comment, I think I'll close public comment. We can discuss that and the other items. During discussion. So with that, I'll close public comment and give Ryan a chance to breath. Okay. Maybe more deep, well, you know, deep secret thing.
Yeah, I really appreciate the public showing up, kind of sharing their perspectives. I see there's kind of a lot of different factors at play. It's not just about the large vehicles. Getting turnover for people who are coming to use our parks is also important. But at the same time, we recognize that there are businesses and their clients, and the 2 hours doesn't necessarily suit everybody. Even people using a park. I've had my kid's birthday party there. And I was certainly there longer than 2 hours, right? So the 2 hours might not be the perfect tool to encourage turnover. On the other hand, too, I do know there are people who own multiple vehicles, and some of those vehicles might not be used for a while. It's not just about the large vehicles. We do want to discourage people storing vehicles next to our city parks. So I think that's also a concern. One question for staff is I know the proposed green curb. So two questions. One is, we have the green curb on both sides, or maybe go to the other side where there's more businesses, for example. One idea that I'm thinking of is that we modify this proposal where the green curb is only on one side. So immediately abutting the park. And then do we have an option to revisit the 2 hours? Could this be, if there's a client that might be there for 3 or 4 hours? And keeping in mind that green curbs, these are less stringent than parking meters. Typically, if you go and you park on a green curb, the chances that you come back 2 hours later and there's a ticket are slim to none. This is not like tightly enforced meter parking. But that being said, do we have an option to do, say, like one green curb with like a 4 hour limit? Because that would still kind of address the issue of people either storing vehicles while also accommodating park guests, clients, but also discourage just kind of abuse of the parking along the park and free that up for people, for visitors.
That is an option. We can go to a 4 hour period. We can reduce the amount of green curb or increase it in the proposal as you all see fit.
I actually think that would strike quite a good balance. So I would like to, if you go back to the staff recommendation, Rather than approving it as proposed, I would make the modification that this would be for a for 4 hour parking along the so half the number of curbs to those immediately adjacent to the parks themselves. So I'll make a motion to approve the resolution as amended.
Okay, and then just to be clear, so north side of 61st Street, south side of 62nd Street?
Exactly.
Okay.
With the 4 hour limit instead of two. And then also for Christy, that would be the east side.
Okay.
I believe. Yeah.
And 4 hour limit on Christy as well.
For all, yes.
For all. Okay. Okay, so we do a motion on the floor.
Yeah, maybe we'll say member Moore.
Thank you. Yes,
sir. As I was calling the mayor, you know, well, the mayor. Sorry, member Moore. Thank you for that. I appreciate everyone being here and all the people who wrote in. I know, you know, it's certainly challenging when you're accustomed to having access to space to store your vehicle, or you know, have people come visit your business or whatever. I know that that's hard to transition away from. I mean, I think, you know, the space is not certainly, I think as Member Moore noted, my goal is not to use our public space, public street space to enable people to store vehicles for a long time or necessarily even have, you know, unabated access to, you know, a space to store your car while you go to work. You know, that's not to say that we want to discourage that, but especially near a park, and especially in an area where the Emory Go-Round does run right along Hollis Street. And, you know, there are certainly plenty of AC transit options. I know that's not accessible for everyone, but, you know, we're not completely removing all parking in the area. And I've lived in the area. I know that on certain other side streets, there's certainly plenty of options. So, I think that this strikes your proposal strikes a good balance of that. And if I guess I'd say to staff, if we're noticing that on the south side of 61st or the north side of 62nd, we are having issues with long term or with vehicles that are there for a long period of time, you know, RVs, et cetera, then we should revisit this. And I think likewise with the folks in the room, the folks online, if you know, this is proving to be a challenge and, you know, you want support from us, from the staff as to how to work as a group to like get a permit or, you know, get some kind of business support, like we can have that conversation. But I think that this approach strikes a good balance. So that I will second that motion.
If I can just add one more comment before we do the roll. The problems that we heard with the permit parking, because it does seem straightforward. If you live somewhere, we should be making it easy to get a permit. Is that something that we can refer to another committee, escalate to council, send to Director Smalley? Is there a recommendation on how to address our current parking permit program? If there's a deficiency where people who legitimately live somewhere should be able to get a permit are unable to get it? Or is that within our purview?
I would recommend, due to the public interest in this item, that you could have two options. One would be having a conversation. We could have a conversation with the director of planning and bring up the specific issues that were brought up here today and see if we can make any progress on it. That's one option. Other options, we could agendize it as part of this committee and have the discussion.
I'll go ahead and I'll agendize it at the end of this meeting. So we don't drop it.
So is there any way that I can comment on this conversation?
Public comment is closed. I guess just to say, assuming in 2 minutes, we vote on the item. This will go, motions on the floor, has been seconded. This will then go to council, where it will be on the consent calendar.
This one will not need to go to council.
Okay.
Yeah, it's within your purview.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Then no comment. Public comment is closed. You're always welcome to send emails to us.
I think we can get your information and follow up with you.
Yeah. That Yeah, a motion, a second.
All right. Roll call. Vice Chair David Moore.
Aye.
And Chair Matthew Sullivan.
Aye.
All right, motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you to everyone in the room and everyone online. With that, we'll move with item 5.1. Let's move to item 6. 6 information items. 6.1 is the bike and pedestrian counter data.
All right. Okay, so let me get to the packet here. Okay, so system makes a little bigger. Okay, so as some of you may know, we have a bike ped counter on our Emeryville Greenway. It is just north of 66th Street, right off of the Greenway Trail. We made it go live on April 1st, 2023, after a few hiccups. It was April Fool's Day, so, you know, everyone thought it was a joke, but it really did go live that day. It's been very popular. We are close to approaching 2 million users, and we wanted to highlight that fact. So just wanted to show some of the stats that we've been seeing in the data, and just kind of highlight some key figures on that. So we're averaging, you know, a daily average of 1,863 users of the trail. That's bikes and peds. We are averaging on the weekdays 2,000 users. So we have a bigger populace using the trail on weekdays versus weekends. So we have, it kind of tells you there's actually commuting traffic on the Greenway versus, you know, just the weekend, you know, just casual users. And then the weekend traffic is down at 1,497. And our peak day was actually on a weekday, Tuesday, June 11th, 2024. We still have no idea what happened that day, but it really peaked up. It might have been someone just really playing around the system, running back and forth, a kid or something. I don't know. We don't know. But year to year, we have a 5% increase. This is kind of consistent from the first year as well. So we have year to year to year increasing users on the trail. So that's consistent to other bike ped counts that we've been doing in the area. So it's going to show that some of our ATP efforts and active transportation facilities that we're putting in the citywide is helping grow the usership in Emeryville. So this is just one little data point that we can always point to kind of track that usage. So that's one of the reasons why we have this counter. And we're projected to get to 2 million users by April 2026. We're kind of running a kind of statistical projection through ChatGPT to kind of get there. So we're working with the BPAC. We just talked about this at our December BPAC meeting. They are going to create an ad hoc committee to help plan an event, kind of like a, you know, grocery shopping 2 millionth, you know, 1 millionth customer event. We're going to try to shape something around that and try to track down the 2 millionth user of this and do something for them. So we'll try to surprise it, you know, not really broadcast it to the world. We don't want anybody gaming the system, you know, and we'll, you know, do something special there. So that's for the Greenway Trail. The South Bayfront Bridge connecting to Bay Street Mall also has a counter on it that we installed and made active on January 11th, 2024. So nearly 2 years it's been active. So not a full 2 years. So we don't have 2 full years to compare year to year. But we're approaching 500,000 users. We're projected to reach that milestone sometime in January. We're not going to do an event for 500,000 users, but you know, still a big number nonetheless. We're averaging 695 daily average users. The weekdays are 648, weekends are 813. So it's kind of the opposite. So we have more weekend traffic going to Bay Street Mall. And we have peak day that shown here is December 6th, 2024. Does anybody know what that date is?
Great.
All day grade from last year.
We made it this year.
And I have our new stats. So let me show you. Let's go to the bridge crossing. New peak day. Friday, December 5th, 1,541. We beat it this year. So kind of cool. So we beat it. Go back to that. We had 1,397. So we beat it by 100 and can't shadow math 144. So yeah, so there you go. Yeah, we are year to year just always increasing with our usership throughout the city. So that goes to our housing goals, our ATP goals, and all that. It's showing that we have more people using bikes and walking and all that in our city. So and it's a very cold day on Friday too. So that I'd say that has some factors there. So it should have been higher. So and I think that's about it. So I'll leave it there. And if you guys have any questions, I could poke around the data if you want. If you're curious, I'm here. This is our live database. So if you want me. Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan. Any questions?
No questions. Thanks, Ryan.
No questions. I'll open public comment on 6.1. Anyone in the room?
Just real quick. So the parade, like how accurate is the counter when there's like a mass of people going by it? Like in terms of object detection, that seems a little fuzzy to me, but
hard to say. Like that one we haven't normalized, we just let it happen.
So that leads me to my question. So what kind of counter is this taking pictures of people? Is this what are we actually doing here?
It's not recording, but it's just tracking objects. That's it. So yeah, just blurring objects, yeah, arrows, yeah, pixels.
So what's stored in the system is the statistics of how many people have used it.
Any
online comments?
No comments on this.
Moving to close public comment for 6.1. To discussion. Discussion.
No discussion.
Keep up the good work. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
And let us know who the 2 million views are.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have photos there. We hope.
I saw with that, I'll close 6.1 and move to 6.2, which is the environmental programs update.
All right. You need. Am I an email from Charlie?
Yeah.
Do I go on the Teams?
Go on Teams. I do. And do the invite and all that. Yeah. Take over.
Here I. All right, just a really brief update. I wanted to highlight something ongoing and exciting in our community. The Ava e-bike rebate program is going on, and it's going on through September of 2026. It's between $400 to $1,500 or even $1,900 for an e-bike rebate. We have gotten 540 eligible applicants from Henryville, which is the highest application rate of all the cities in Ava territory by population, which is pretty exciting and something to be proud of, I think. 20% are income qualified, and the monthly drawings are continuing. So we recommend you all to both apply and tell all of your friends. This is a great opportunity to transition some of your transportation to e-bike and non-vehicle alternatives. Also, just a note that there was a recall for Rad Power batteries over this last couple of months, so those have been withdrawn from that program. And here's just a little, some details on the program and our adoption rates over on the right that we just got the recent batch of. But that's where we stand in things. Not that it's competition or anything. We want everybody to be at 100%.
We really want that.
Yeah. Also, we're gearing up. It's holiday season. So we're sending out kind of the holiday messaging with our Stop Waste partners and our waste management partners. Trying to do a lot on contamination this year, and then also the trees. And just as a reminder, waste management does pick up trees throughout the month of January for free curbside, or if you live in an apartment complex, you can get a bin delivered for free and they will collect those trees into that and you'll pick that up as well. Also, anyone who has a gray cart in their house or in their apartment, you can flatten boxes and put it alongside that and not get charged any overage rate for that. To perks of the Emeryville waste management contract. And last but not least, just wanted to note, I think Evermore is familiar with this, but there is a cost recovery fee that has been discussed at Stop Waste. And that is a several dollars that would go, depending on what size of a building you live in, approximately $4 for a single family home
And it's per cubic yard for multifamily or commercial. And that is due to the costs incurred by South Waste for SB 1383 compliance. So enforcement, food recovery, different types of compliance measures they have to take because of the state regulations. So that is kind of, it's being worked out still. Most of the details are worked out. It's going to its first reading at South Waste as January 28th is my understanding. And happy to provide more details and you can learn more in the staff packet when it comes out there. And those are all the fun updates I have for you now.
On that last one, where will that show up on someone's garbage bill?
Great question. Yes, we're anticipating that it show up on the garbage bill itself. They'll be collected by the haulers, not by the city.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any questions from Matt?
No questions. Thanks.
Excellent. Any open public comment? Any in room comments on this item? No. Any public comments? No. Any discussion for this member?
None from me.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. With that, I'll close 6.2 and move to 6.3, the CIP track spreadsheet.
So, start with the center painting for Motlin.
Sure, we're pretty much done at this point. I know it looks like it's been done for a long time, but there was remaining window trim painting that we finished, I believe, yesterday. So that project should be coming back to council to be closed out and accepted. That and the window installations that you all see on this floor and the other floors of this building.
And let's see, then we have a staff has completed an asset management plan for our stormwater management. The analysis is anticipated to begin in mid-2026, so the CIP project has a little bit of movement starting on that. Further on this, our sustainable streetscapes project had some major movement on Hollis Street, so we completed our major overnight paving operations, successfully completed during the week of November 17th and the following week right before Thanksgiving. We addressed all the mainline and side street areas. We had a few subgrade issues that we handled during the construction overnight. We added some other extra fabric there to handle the conditions, but there was nothing we could handle. Still finished on time for the CMS boards. The project is now moving into the final construction phase, which includes the installation of 5 concrete bus pads and the final striping. So we are planning to stripe the starting fills tomorrow in the last 3 days is what we heard today, right?
Yeah, they're going to do the cat tracking starting tomorrow.
Yeah, so cat tracking. So this is going to be not the final thermoplastic striping, but this will be the kind of chalk markings to outline what the final striping looks like. We approve that, and then the final striping will go on top of it. So you start seeing the layout of what the final striping will look like this week. And all weather permitting, so the weather's looking pretty decent though, so we're open stays like that. There's other project elements that's still yet to be completed, but we have them in the works and starting to see how that's going to be scheduled. But benches at the marina and the finishing up of the solar powered bus stop lighting at all the locations in town where there is a clear line of sight to the sun. So that is ongoing. The Powell Street redesign project had a survey open last year. The consultants worked on synthesizing all that community input, as well as public meetings that they had out at Watergate and a few other public meetings that took place over all of 2025. They've incorporated that into some BPAC presentations, even presentations with you all. And they will be returning to the TSC in January for a presentation, and that will lead into a council item to hopefully
approve the concept design.
Yeah, there you go. Approve the concept design at council. So yeah, that is coming up soon. And our 40th Street project has reached a major milestone of our final design being at 95%. We went to council in November to get our project description approved to lead into our CEQA document being released. This is our draft environmental document for the CEQA side of things. It has now been released, opening up a 45-day public comment period. This public comment period is set to close in January 9th or 7th. Sorry, don't quote me on that. It is on our public notice, so. And we will be hearing these public comments and working through that CEQA process through January and February and coming back to council with an item to summarize and complete that process in early 2026. Currently, there's a public art element of the project that our planning department is running. They went to our BPAC in the December BPAC meeting. They will be coming to you all. We are slated for the February meeting to go over their items to show off some of the design of some of the wayfinding elements that will be incorporated as part of the 40th Street project. They're two concurrent separate efforts, but they will be incorporated on top of the 40th Street project. So these are elements that will be incorporated at the bus stop areas, attached to lights, attached to the plaza areas, or, you know, we're carving out spaces for them in our project, and they will be beautifying our spaces. So you'll be excited to see what they've come up with on that front. So we're excited to show you. And on the funding front, we've, you know, stayed successful on that. We've secured $34 million in funding, and that is a combination of federal, state, regional, and local sources. And that is that. And last thing to talk about is our urban tree planting program. Matt, you have any updates on that beyond this groundbreaking event? And
nothing major. Yeah. We're completed soil analysis, yeah. And we're excited. We're using biochar as one of the amendments for some of the plantings out in the marina. So we've gotten the contractor going on that, and that should be in service shortly.
All right. That's it for now.
Any call back questions?
One question on the bike detection light that we're getting at 59th and Hollis. I think every time I'm on a bike and I'm at a light, I'm always wondering, does it see me? Right. So this seems like a really compelling offering. And I'm wondering if it works out and it's something we want to roll out more broadly. How much does one of those cost at a given intersection? Roughly.
I think I can come back to our next meeting with a bigger update. We have a cost of what the device is, and we're modifying it. We might have it installed by our next meeting, actually. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So I've been working with our contractor on it. So, I think it should be installed by next meeting.
The reason why this is a custom installation as opposed to just taking a product and installing it like you would normally is that we're modifying the product so that it also works for the passive detection of pedestrians.
Yes.
So not it's designed for bikes. We're going to be modifying it so it covers both bikes and pedestrians. So anyone standing there will be able to see a light if they're a pedestrian or if they're a bike, and therefore they start to understand that they don't have to press the button. As so well,
they are we like expanding the field of view then? Is it the camera?
It's already there. So we already have passive pedestrian detection at the intersection using our existing camera system and also detecting the bikes. So the same camera system will have a bike indication light up high showing that you're being detected by a bike, your bike, you're getting detected. Closer to the ped button, there will be another sign indicating that, hey, you're a pedestrian being detected.
I see. And it's the same vehicle detection cameras that we use for detecting all the vehicles at the intersection anyway. But we're just getting the algorithm to detect people and bikes and now the feedback mechanism. So to let people know you have been detected.
Yeah. Got it. Thank you.
One other question on Hollis Street. It sounds like the bulk of the heavy, loud work has been completed. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's cool.
Now it's painting.
Yes. It looks really nice, that thing. So that's great.
Although they have been out there raising quote iron, and that's like adjusting the utilities to the grade, the surface grade, yeah, to asphalt, and that does require some work that may be a little bit loud at times, but not nearly as loud as like the grinding operation.
But daytime.
That's daytime work.
There are cars going. Okay, great. No other questions. We can open this for public comment. Any comments on item 6.3 in the room? Brooks, fetching
this? Yeah, the public art component of the 40th Street project is a perfect example of where we should be including ETMA on the pipeline, because I was at the unveiling of the sculpture in the new plaza at Hollis and Powell last week. And one of the BPAC members came up to me and had obviously recently had this briefing, right, about the public art component of the 40th Street project. It was like, we should use this these themes from like the public art component to wrap a bus for Emory go-round and, you know, and tie it all in, right? And so I brought that idea back to our chair of the board, and we're going to think about that as part of our marketing program. And so this is exactly a perfect example of why I think ETMA and the Emory go-round should be included. So I know you brought this to BPAC, you brought it here, but please bring it to ETMA as well. We'd love to, you know, to contribute and to tie Emory go-round into these projects. Yeah.
Appreciate it. Any other comments?
No comments.
Close public comment. Any discussion on 6.3?
None for me.
None for me. Good work. With that, we'll close 6.3 and move to future agenda items. We've got a couple things on the list. Wanted to agenda is something related to.
Go for it. I could introduce one item. This is so related to. Let's call it like parking permit address requirements. You know,
would you consider it making it more broad, including address, just so that you have flexibility to discuss what you need to?
Yeah, as long as when we get to it, we don't forget why it was what the fact of it, right? Because I'm used to that happening. Like, why did we put that on there, right? So it could be parking permit requirements. Including address, or leave out the address and maybe just promise me you'll remember.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, and you know, this one, most of the items on future agenda items are controlled by our department, so we kind of roll it out and schedule it, but we can work with planning and see how soon we can get it on the agenda.
And then the other one, I'll add one more, where we can just talk in general terms about the, call it ETMA slash transportation committee coordination, and how we think that should work. Like, should there be, you know, I know Brooks kind of on his own, a little bit in his capacity as a ETMA board member, kind of comes out and kind of gets information. There's kind of like a push and a pull, right? And what's the appropriate level of push and pull? You know, do we need to be sending staff over to all of their board meetings and like spoon feeding things, right? Or should it be more like we send important pieces of information electronically and maybe a representative is present at certain functions? I don't know what the correct balance should be, but at least we can just have an open discussion about it.
Yeah, we do have ETMA planning item on here as future agenda. And
I think was that related to that? I may have introduced that.
Pseudo is. It's also about like grant finding exercise is kind of how that was shaped up. And then on the push pull idea, there we were slated to be on the ETMA board agenda for November and had to cancel.
Okay.
We're slated to go to February's meeting as staff to present on like 3 CIP projects. Okay. So there's a little bit of, I think we can bring up this idea, you know, at that board too. So I think there's some cohesion that can happen. Yeah.
And there has been coordination and discussion at the staff level with the ETMA on projects. But I think elevating it to the committee level is definitely a way to improve that coordination for sure.
Yeah. And part of that discussion can maybe include what coordination is currently happening so that we're not, I mean, I assume that there's, it's not zero. It's just
right. Yeah.
Right. What it could
look. Keeping everyone in the loop.
So I'll stop that.
Do we want to, the urban tree planting project, now that that's kind of going on, do we want to remove that?
Yeah, I think that's just part of VIP now. So yeah, we can have it done.
Reconstruction.
Yeah.
And is the Ashby Interchange bike path overcrossing, is that going to be an update from ACTC? Or
that will be, right? And I think we might agenda as that as soon as January 4th. Okay.
Great. I don't think I have anything else that's quite ready for the light of day yet. So with that, we'll move to close 7.1. Move to announcements and member comments. Any announcements?
No announcements.
Had a great time at the walk bike parade on Friday, which, you know, you didn't plan it, but you build the infrastructure to make it happen. So, but no, great. Tons of people out, lots of kids on their bikes. So it was really fun to see. So,
awesome.
Felt good about that. With that, I'll adjourn the meeting. It is 5:07. Meeting is adjourned.
Awesome.